Give me a mic check for Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Tampa, Florida.
Oh, hello, check one Tampa, check two Tampa. I need some more on one.
Okay.
Casino, check, check. Hard Rock, Tampa, check, check. Seminole Hard Rock.
Check it out for yourself at SeminoleHardRock.com. All right, guys, I'm rolling. Let's kick it.
Little Stephen's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
It's time for your coolest conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock and Little Stephen's Underground Garage. I'm the Mighty Manfred. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Joining me today is Peter Horvath, the main creative force behind the New Brunswick, New Jersey band, The Anderson Council. They've got a couple of tracks on the new Gem record Celebrates Pete Townsend release, and their version of Glow Girl is a recent coolest song in the world. We'll hear a tad of that now, and then my chat with Peter Horvath on your coolest conversations presented by Hard Rock in Little Stephen's Underground Garage. Lots of woods make up a pair of black watch truths. Your attitude piano, sentimental photographs, a million little memories, a million little laughs. The wing of the airplane is just caught on fire. I say without reservation, nothing matters, you'll see when in paradise you live. This is the Mighty Manfred back with you in Little Stephen's Underground Garage. And my guest for our coolest conversations is Peter Horvath from the New Brunswick, New Jersey band, The Anderson Council. They got our coolest song in the world this week. It's a version of The Who's song, Glow Girl. And it's off the recently released Gem Records Celebrates Pete Townsend album. Hey, Peter, how have you been?
Doing all right, Manfred. Long time, man.
Oh, man. So we spoke last in 2016. The world has been through some changes since then. Were you and your family able to keep healthy through the pandemic?
Mostly, yeah. Had COVID once. So that's, I guess, all right.
All right.
I'm okay now.
There was no long-term, long-haul thing going on with you?
No, not at all.
How about your bandmates? Are those guys all right?
Oh, yeah. They're all right. We actually, I think we've all had it at some point. So we got that out of our system.
Did you guys, through the lockdown and all, were you able to work on any material? Or did you guys keep distant from each other? Or what was going on?
Strangely enough, I actually had to replace half the band in 2020. Right before everything shut down in 2020, two guys gave notice, wished them well, of course, but I had to not only replace them, but somehow get the new people up to speed without seeing them very, very often. So that was a little strange, but I guess we made it work. And, a lockdown made a lot of new songs come out. So that's cool. And now we're back up to speed and we're recording a new record. And we're almost done with it. And there's two gem tribute records, are coming out in between there. And so it's a good time over here.
Well, I want to ask you some more about the new album you've been working on. But
First, you know, our coolest song in the world this week is Glow Girl off this gem record, celebrates Pete Townsend album. And it's like the third in a series of albums the label's done celebrating great songwriters like Brian Wilson and John Lennon. How did this specific one come together, the Pete Townsend one come together?
These two songs that we covered, they've been longtime favorites of mine. So, actually we worked on a third that didn't make the cut, but these two have been longtime favorites, and you know, they were actually not too high for me to sing, which is important. And they were easy to counselize, I suppose.
Well, why did Gem Records decide to go after Pete? Why was Pete the next songwriter? Do you have any idea?
Well, I'm assuming because Marty from Gem has had a long-standing, you know, relationship with Pete, and he was supposed to, the original incarnation of Gem Records were supposed to release various Townsend-related items, and of course, you know, the whole Who direct hits, that was like the first thing that Gem imported into the US back in the day. So there's been a long-standing Townsend Gem relationship. So it was time for the tribute, I suppose.
Well, you mentioned there are two songs on there, the Glow Girl, which is our coolest song in the world this week, and there's also Marianne with a Shaky Hand that you guys cover. Well, how much do you love The Who in general and Pete Townsend specifically? How big an influence is The Who and Pete to you and your songwriting?
I mean, I have enjoyed them for a very long time. Mostly, I guess I don't want to say it, that my enthusiasm wanes post Quadrophenia, but you know, the earlier stuff always does it for me. Any time you play lots of crashing, clangy chords, you know, I guess there's Townsend, right? So then there's always going to be crashing, clangy chords in my songs.
So remind me for a moment, when did you first start playing guitar?
1983, I started playing bass, and then I switched to guitar, I guess, 2 years later.
And when did you start writing your own songs?
1983. And when I was 13, yeah. It's one of those things, hey, we can't play anything, but let's all buy instruments and start a band. So, it was a very punk thing to do. And punk, I guess, was, still a thing in the early 80s. And so we took that initiative and went from there.
And so when you were first learning your instrument and stuff, I mean, were you familiar with the Who then? Did you try and cover any Who kind of songs?
I was familiar, but I don't know. I guess they seemed too like straight up rock and roll. And I was very, into the whole punk thing and all that. I, came to my senses a little later and, let The Who into my life.
That's it. You got to let The Who into your life, brother, man. That's the way it has to be. So what point was that?
I mean, not too long after. I guess when I was like 16 or 17, I was like, yeah, okay. It's not classic rock. It's just rock. And it's worth listening to because there's some good stuff there.
Absolutely. So Glow Girl, that's our coolest song in the world this week. And let's focus on that a moment. The Who's version first appeared, I think, on Odds and Sods. Is that correct? Where you know the track from?
That is where I know the track from.
And why did you want to cover that tune? I mean, you mentioned already about not wanting to trying to find songs that weren't particularly high, but what was it about Glow Girl that you found that made it make the cut?
I mean, it has all the elements of a Who song that you know what that you would expect. You know, it's got like a lead drum part, because only Keith Moon could play lead drums. You know, it's got various, you know, Townsend-esque guitar battering. It's got great vocals, and you know, of course, Entwistle holds the whole thing together. So all the elements that you would want from a Who song are present, for sure.
And also, it's like sort of a more sort of a gem that's not as well known as a lot of the other material.
Sure.
I mean, did that have any attraction to you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we always try to pick non-standard songs for these tribute things, just because that's, you know, that interests me more than usual.
And you
know, everybody knows the single, right?
Right. And you mentioned that you changed over a couple of guys in the lineup. So the newer members, they are playing on this recording.
Yes, they are.
And then when and where did you record the songs?
Whew. We recorded them. Time is so fluid right now.
Yes, it is. So we're in 2022. Just
right. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. I wasn't sure. I feel like this might have been at the end of last year or somewhere near there, beginning of this year at good old House of Vibes Studios in Highland Park, New Jersey, with Mr. Kurt Ryle of the Gripweeds.
And speaking of the Gripweeds, the rest of the compilation is filled with other gem recording artists like them and the Midnight Callers and the Weaklings. Outside of the contributions that you have, do you have a favorite track that another artist did on the album?
Oh, I do like the Midnight Callers song a bunch, because I'm not usually a solo Townsend fan, but they did the song Justice, and I found it very enjoyable. And I think they probably recorded at House of Vibes too. I don't remember exactly, or at least partially.
Yeah, let My Love Open the Door. That's the one.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it actually is. I had forgotten all about that song. And since you know, I mean, I was like in high school going to beginning college, it was like, oh, when I heard them do it, and I was like, wait a minute, this, oh my God, I totally forgot about it. So yeah, I thought that was actually a pretty cool thing for them to go after and cover.
Sure. And you know, they're like the next generation of, I shouldn't have said generation, that was telling, of like, you know, power pop / rock bands, right? They're younger than we are. So that it makes sense to me that they would, you know, cover a later selection, right?
Oh, you know, I got a question. This popped in my mind, and it's related to what we're talking about, just to get your opinion on this. So this past weekend, I went out and saw some bands in Los Angeles, and the third band on this bill called the Killing Floors, and they're from Santa Ana. And they must have a great kind of, for lack of a better term, a garage rock and roll scene that is, you know, pretty heavily, very sympathetic to like 60s kinds of sounds. And some of the bands from there, you know, will have the whole sort of Fuzz Stones look going on. The Killing Floors, not so much, but they definitely have that vibe, and they all play really, really well. And it's, you know, it's just great. And a friend of mine pointed out, I was like, oh, you know, you guys are doing it, starting this stuff, it was like 20 years old, and now it's more like 40, 50 years old.
Right.
You really think this kind of genre will continue on? And What would your answer be to that?
It would appear so. You know, I mean, there's still people who are really into it and who are just, you know, maybe they're just discovering it and they're seeing it through like a slightly different lens than I saw it through, or, you know, bands of our vintage saw it through. But it's still, you know, it's still good music. There's nothing, you know, terribly, I don't find it dated. I think it's aged pretty well, like a fine wine, you know, but
it's timeless for the ages.
Sure. I don't think that's a bad descriptor at all.
In fact, what's interesting too is, and if I describe them as kids, I mean, these guys are, you know, in their upper 20s, maybe even early 30s. But the people that are, when they bring the audience that's coming to see them, some of them definitely are sort of, you know, keyed into that era, but others are just coming because they think the band is great, which I think ascribes to this music of the ages or fine wine or timeless sort of quality.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. As long as as long as they keep coming out to shows, that's cool by me. You know, maybe we can play some of those shows. That would be nice.
Your last studio album, that is 2019's When Worlds Collide. Is that right?
But we'll give it to you, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I know you're working on a new one, and you had to bring these other guys up to speed. How far along is the new full length?
We are this close, however much this close is, to starting to mix, which is good. This is I think we started this in 2021.
Okay.
March of 21. And if we get it out by early 2023, like the predictions are saying, then that'll be our quickest recording to release ever.
And how many songs are you looking at?
12, 14, somewhere in there, the usual album length.
Did you do this at Ryle's place, a House of Vibes? Are you doing it there?
Yes, we did. You know, we did all the backing tracks, and then I went home and did the vocals from home, so I could, you know, try to take it easy and not look at the clock. And then, you know, brought them all back and then started on overdubs. And I think we're one guitar solo away from a mix. Which is very
exciting. You've worked with Kirk before in the past?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's recorded pretty much every council recording except one or two. But, yeah.
Well, I can tell you dig on the House of Vibes, but what is it about Kirk that keeps you coming back?
He stopped being scared of me when I threaten him with bodily harm. He's still scared. There we go. That's what I meant. I still make him nervous occasionally, which is funny.
And the creative energy keeps the train on the tracks.
I suppose, yeah, the creative energy as well. We end up completing each other's sentences when we're talking about various overdubs and mixed decisions and, you know, what this track really needs, you know, dot, dot, dot. And so, yeah, that's it's a good time.
That is a good sign. I like to think of you guys being an old married couple there, completing each other's sentences. That's a pretty great working relationship then.
Yeah, I would say so.
So several of the bands on the album are in the New Jersey, New York City area, like the Grip Weeds, Weaklings, Midnight Callers, yourselves. Any plans on doing a show together to promote the release, the Gem Records Pete Townsend release?
That would be nice. I don't know what Mr. Scott has up his sleeve as far as that sort of thing, but, you know, I would enjoy playing gigs with the gem stable of artists. Absolutely. And if we could have a release gig for this thing, that would be really cool.
Well, do you have any Anderson Council shows proper coming up in August or for the fall?
Nothing that's not a barbecue, unfortunately. But well, we're always booking shows. So
yeah, you played. You played some shows in July.
Yeah, we played a bunch of stuff in July. You know, we've got stuff coming up, but it's like our only gig in August so far is actually at a very well attended barbecue in Scotch Plains, New Jersey. You'll hear us if you go to Scotch Plains.
Is that something we can tell the people out in satellite radio listening land, or is that's a private event?
It's a private event, but.
But if they want to drive, around in the neighborhood there and keep their ears open, if they hear the music, no one's going to turn them away.
Correct.
Oh, very cool. So the there's Glow Girl, and the other song that's of y'all's version of y'all's is on the album is a version of the Who's Marianne with a Shaky Hand. But you also mentioned that there was a third song that didn't quite that didn't make the cut. What was the third song you guys were thinking of doing?
The third song was one called Little Billy.
Oh, right. Is that like those, like a anti-smoking, like PSA?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
But once again, man, it had all the, all the Who hallmarks, which was great. It just, that one was just too damn high.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, that's cool that you thought of that song to do. When did you come? I wasn't familiar with that song until just maybe it's like half a dozen years ago now because time is compressed. But I when I found out about that, I was like, oh, actually, this is a pretty cool little thing.
Yeah, it is. Well, once again, that was another Odds and Sods song.
Yeah.
So, it's been out in the ether forever, but at least as long as I've had a copy of Odds and Sods.
Well, what about Marianne with a Shaky Hand? So there are aspects I understand that, checked off boxes, but specifically, was there anything else about the tune? I mean, why did that one make the cut? What made you draw? Why were you drawn to that song?
It's just so darn good. I mean, seriously, it's a, it's a just a great, great song. Maybe the subject matter is a little iffy, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Who in subject matters, we got pictures of Lily and
right.
Whatever, there you go. So their version, I think, is on the Who Sell Out. What is your favorite Who album?
Wow. I mean, I would say Sell Out or A Quick One.
Yeah.
Those are top tier, with Tommy and Who's Next not far behind, and then backtrack to My Generation.
So you're not especially a fan of the Shel Talmy produced stuff first?
No, it's good, but I think they more came into their own a couple into it. The singles were great. And some of the album tracks were on My Generation were great. The Good's Gone and that stuff.
So Shel Talmy is still active and he's still working. Would you ever consider working with him?
Sure.
Yeah.
I would like to record things with many people.
Well, who are some other people you'd like to record with?
Steve Lillywhite.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, Steve Lillywhite. And I guess Hugh Padgham.
Yeah.
Now, of course, I can't come up with any older names than that.
Well, they still have to be around too.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, how's Kurt Rao going to feel about that, though? We're going to, you know, I guess he can be demoted down. He'll be an engineer still, I guess.
Yeah, he'll just have to get over it.
Well, Peter, thank you so much for chatting with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Sure, man. Glad to do it.
Right. Well, it's time now to reveal Marianne with a Shaky Hand. It's the Anderson Council of the Gem Records Celebrates Pete Townsend release here in Little Stephen's Underground Garage.
Oh, Marianne.
That was the Anderson Council with their version of The Who's Marianne with a Shaky Hand off the new Gem record Celebrates Pete Townsend release. I'm the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's Peter Horvath for speaking with me today. And thanks also to Sammy Semenza for producing our podcast. Next time, I'll be joined by singer-songwriter and producer Chuck Prophet, who in addition to having an ongoing solo career, has written or co-written songs recorded by a number of underground garage artists, from Alejandro Escovedo to Ryan Hamilton to Solomon Burke. We'll talk about Chuck's career, as well as his current projects, next time around on your Coolest Conversations podcast, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stephen's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.